Today I am joined by a special co-host, Mike Proctor. Mike is phenomenal at negotiating, constantly on our top agent leaderboard, a phenomenal coach, a teacher, a leader, not only in our company, but in our community as well. Today we're talking about negotiation, and we're talking about how do we take a negotiation that can be feel very contentious, and how do we make it smooth, not only for us, but the cooperating agent and our clients, to make it do what we're supposed to do, get our clients where they want to go without a bunch of fighting. We talk about that on the buyer side, on the seller side, and really specific examples. That's all coming up on this week's episode of the podcast. Welcome to Real Estate Success, the Whistle Way podcast. I am your host, Brian Cochi, here with Whistle Realty Group, and I am joined by our special guest. We've had this gentleman on the podcast multiple times, fan favorite, at least my favorite co-host. If there's not one of, definitely in the top five, Mr. Mike Proctor. Welcome to the show again.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Mike has been on the team on Whistle Realty Group for going on
seven years.
7 years. Came from a different team, joined our team, has been a phenomenal leader in not only in transactions, but in helping agents grow, worked with us as a sales manager capacity, worked with us as the number one agent on our team, kind of done a little bit of everything. And Mike, every time I have you on, I take two pages of notes that I never do anything with. I'm not an agent, but I'm just like, this is good stuff. So I'm very excited about this. And today we're going to talk about negotiation.
Yeah. Yeah. We were kind of brainstorming a little bit on what we wanted to chat about. And it is a topic of conversation that comes up a lot here, you know, in our office.
Yep.
About what we want to train on, how we want to get better at it. So I thought it'd be apropos.
And at first I said, Mike, let's do real estate objections. And he looked at me and he goes, dude, we've done this a billion times. So if you want to listen to a master real estate objection handler, this podcast, this particular episode, we're not going to go into it. But yeah, just search Mike Proctor and you'll find a ton of stuff on YouTube that we've done together. And the reason why I always said it is because every time we do it, I'm like, that's so good. So, and I think you just won our script battle, right?
I did.
We do an internal script battle where agents go up in front of the entire company and do a 2-minute objection handler. And so I'm really prepping you up for this. And then we're not going to talk about it today.
Yeah, I know.
But that's fine.
So objection handling, tune in next time.
Yes. So, but if that's interesting to you, just go ahead and search Mike Proctor and you'll find a bunch of stuff. Cool. So negotiation. Let's talk about it because it's a buzzword in our industry. It's something that every agent says, I'm a pro negotiator. I can negotiate for you.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's something that every single person, whether agent that is about to get licensed to Kyle Whistle, who's been licensed for 20 years to, I just had a guy door knock me who's been licensed for probably 600-700 years. You probably know who I'm talking about. Every single person can get better. There's never a time where you're like, I'm at the level that there's no going better, right?
Right.
So let's talk about it a little bit.
Well, what's interesting to me is when I start talking to people about negotiation and I ask them, well, what does it mean to you? What in your mind, when you're negotiating, what's happening? And almost without fail, the explanation that comes back to me is something that's adversarial. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, A versus B, and there's this like power struggle and, fight almost dynamic that takes place. And
there's a winner and a loser.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And within reason, there's going to be. However, in my mind, the way that I portray negotiation is it's more relationship building and asking for assistance. And when I've done it this way, the result is usually much more beneficial for my side of the fence, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So instead of going up there and shoving it down their face, and this is what we have to do, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and your client's going to do this.
Yes.
Usually, if you're on the other side of that, if you're listening right now, if I said that to you, you're probably not going to go, sure thing, Brian. That sounds great.
Exactly.
That's not the best. Like, we all know that's not the best way to go across.
Without question.
Sometimes people think to be a good negotiator, you're the biggest bully.
Mm-hmm.
And being a bully can help you in certain situations. But it's a very short-term thing. And you're talking about building relationships. I know you're in this for the long haul.
Right.
If you say, hey, I'll burn every bridge I go through and I just want to bully my people through, sure, but it's not going to be great for you long-term. Mm-hmm. And it's going to make negotiations a lot harder.
Right.
So how do we take this mindset shift from telling people what they're going to do? How do we build a relationship, ask for assistance, and get what we want?
Well, here's a fun story. I just closed a transaction with another agent here on the team, Cody. Mm-hmm. And it was a listing that I had off market. He had the buyer. He asked if he could show it off market. So we allowed it. We put it in escrow. And I set certain expectations with him of what the seller was expecting walking in. One of them was, this is an as-is sale. And we made adjustments on what the sales price would be based upon that. And in the initial offer, he submitted that they wanted termite clearance. Well, that's not as is.
Correct.
So I very well could have just fired back and been like, absolutely not. Seller's drawing a line in the sand. You go to your buyer. You do this. You do that. Right.
We already talked about this.
And make it adversarial. Mm-hmm. But instead, what I did was I came to him and I was like, Cody, I looked at the offer. Everything looks perfect, man. I'm curious, though. I noticed that you put in that you guys want Section 1 termite clearance. How are we going to do that and keep this as is? And then I shut up. I came asking for assistance. I came to partner with you to find a solution to this problem that I found. And he goes, oh, let me talk to my buyer and see if we can just pull that away. And I'm like, that would be really helpful. We closed escrow and he comes back to me. Cody comes back to me after we close escrow.
Yeah.
Right. This is 3 weeks in between. Right. And he goes, wow, Mike, that was such a smooth transaction. I figured we would have been negotiating and going back and forth on everything. And I was like, no, man, you were just awesome. So we didn't have to do anything.
You're like, we were negotiating.
And in his mind, there was never a negotiation.
Yeah.
But I got my client exactly what they wanted for a price more than what they wanted. And Cody thought he never negotiated. So you asked, how do we do this? That is exactly how. Because as soon as I bark at you, as soon as I start to portray the bully, you acknowledge that and your defenses come up and you start strategizing on tactics on overcoming my objections. And
it becomes into ego.
Precisely.
My ego, I got to beat you.
Yeah.
Like I got to win.
Right.
Yeah.
Where if I come to you as a bridge builder and I'm like, hey, I love what you put together here. I noticed one little thing and I need your help trying to figure this out. How can I do this? I give you the problem to solve. Now, is it a guaranteed way to make them, you know, pull away from what I don't want them to do? No. However, it shifts their thought process from you versus me to we need to get through this. And if I can reach across the table and I can get them to think of we instead of you versus me, we are going to find an amicable decision and an outcome.
So now that, and I love that. And that, in this story, you've had a relationship with Cody for 3 years. He's been on our team. He's a great agent. He's a great guy.
Yep.
You already have that relationship built. How do you do that same thing? Or what do you need to do before you get to that if it's an agent you've never met before?
So this happened. Oh, I love this. First of all, as a listing agent, I answer my phone. I can't tell you how many times I've had other agents call me and, you know, I answer the phone and they're like, wow, you answered your phone. Listing agents out there, please don't be lazy. Answer your phone.
And it's only going to get harder throughout this year.
Well,
it's going to get busier and busier.
And I make the joke kind of tongue in cheek. They call us cooperating brokers for a reason. We are supposed to cooperate with one another. Mm-hmm. This is not without emotion. This is not without people. This needs the human element in order for work to happen. So, no, I don't want a voicemail. I don't want a text message, and I definitely don't want an email. I want to physically speak to you. And I want you to sell me on you. And when that phone call happens and it's post-showing and they're like, yeah, I just wanted to call and let you know my buyer is interested and put an offer in. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, tell me a little bit about you, man. I want to know about the human being that's on the other end of the phone, not the client. I don't care about your buyer. That's your client. You love them. I don't need to. But this is one of many opportunities that you as a buyer's agent and me as a listing agent may have an opportunity to have a relationship. So let me learn a little bit more about you.
And what are you looking for when you ask that?
So I want to know, were they the ones that were there at the property? I'd love to get their thoughts and ideas about the property. I want to know if they have had any transactions with anybody else within my team. Nice thing about the Whistle team, we have a lot of agents, and the probability of somebody having some history with us is pretty good. So I'm going to ask, hey, what kind of history do you have with the Whistle team? Have you closed any transactions with us? And if not with Whistle, how about EXP? Have you closed any transactions with an EXP agent? Right? Okay. Do you have a TC? What kind of back office support do you currently have? This is a conversation I'm having with them over the phone before they've submitted an offer. I want to know who I'm getting into work with. Am I going to do your job for you? Right? Like we have a offer submission link that you copy and paste into the browser in order to submit your offer to us, which is amazing. And as a listing agent, the way that it categorizes and structures the offer and sends me a quick, easy to read format of like a synopsis of all the offers, I love it. It's amazing for me. I can't tell you how infuriating it is when I get a phone call from an agent that's like, I can't figure this out. And I'm like, you copy and paste it into the browser. And they're like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, you're screaming to me that you don't want to work with me.
and that this is going to be a difficult transaction. And so I love these are the questions that you ask, because not only one, and I know this, but I'll spell it out. You're asking, hey, have you worked with someone on our team?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I worked with Cody. We'll just use him as an example.
Right.
Then your next call is like, hey, Cody, how is this dude?
100%.
How is this chick? Oh, she was great. Oh, he asked me to fax him everything. Like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And it gives them the opportunity to kind of figure out where you go. And then the great thing is you're listing a property. You have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 offers. You only can accept one. You can only work with one. But now you, as a listing agent, are building 9 relationships.
Precisely.
Whether you accept them or not, now you started it. Now, when they have a listing and you call them, be like, hey, remember when I answered your call? Time to answer my call, guy.
Right. Well, and here's the part that I think we overlook the most is the burden of communication, the burden of appropriate communication falls on us. It does not fall on people that don't understand it.
When you say us, you mean agents?
Well, it falls on us that are engaged in this podcast that actually spend time and effort into improving our own ability to understand human communication, right? Because if I understand this is an archaic agent, they want a fax, they want the triple duplicate, you know, on 3-layer paper, right?
Do I keep the pink one or the yellow one?
Totally, right? So like, if that is the person I'm going to be working with, then I need to know how to communicate appropriately to them. Mm-hmm. As much as it infuriates me they can't use the internet, that's not their fault. It's not my fault. But in order for me to deliver for my client, I need to understand how to properly communicate to that person on their frequency at their level. And that burden of responsibility of adjusting my communication, that falls on me. That is not their responsibility because they don't understand how to do it. So therefore, I'm going to adjust my communication style to connect with that other person, because the more they feel heard, the more they feel understood, the more they're going to work towards building the bridge that I ask them for help with.
And not only in that situation, I forgot where I was going earlier, but I love this. And so now you go, okay, I know how to communicate with them. Yes, I built a relationship. But you also get to learn pretty early on from that early conversation how much negotiating power you're going to have, what their personality type is, because I'm sure sometimes in those conversations they're like, well, I'll just send it all over. Don't worry. Like they, I'm being a high D yourself in the DISC profiles, a dominant personality of bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, next, move on.
Yep.
If you get that, you get a sense pretty early on if this person is going to be, I don't want to use the word pushover, or are they going to be a bully? Is this going to be a smooth transaction? Or are you can probably well, tell,
I
are they
going to try and pushover? There are weak agents. There are weak agents, meaning they are order takers.
Yeah.
They are waiters and waitresses that have a real estate license, and they simply take orders from their client and submit the orders to the cook. I'm the cook, right? So, you know, saying it's a pushover is actually doing them, you know, a service because they're less than that.
Okay. I was going to say, wait a second. Sounds like you're okay. Like, yeah.
A weak agent is the least effective thing in real estate.
And there's plenty of them.
Well, I identify when I am working with a weak agent because then I understand, okay, I have to script you. I have to teach you how to talk to your client in order for us to hit the finish line. And that again is all part of negotiating, right? Like, When I ask that, how do we make this work? And they go, I don't know. Then it's a delivery of, hey, I was thinking, if I were in your shoes, I would say something like this to my client to get them on board. Do you think you could do that?
I like that.
Right? Like,
yeah.
Because so often we as the listing agent should be scripting the buyer's agent on how to properly inform their client of something. Or I don't, this is how I do it anyways. I will try to script them on how to speak to their client to better drive the situation to the direction I want it to go, which better serves my client.
So I want you to give some scenarios, because what's great is the people that listen to this podcast, if you're listening right now, you are not a weak agent. I think a weak 100%. Agent doesn't mean inexperienced. It doesn't mean they don't know. It's a mindset of, I don't want to grow. I'm just doing what I'm doing. It's fine. It's your C minus level student is like, whatever, let's just get through this and yeah. I'm going to go to play baseball after this. Like, whatever, right? You're checking a box.
Yep.
And so the people that are listening to this podcast, if you're listening right now, even if you're saying, well, I'm inexperienced, or wow, did Mike just call me weak? He absolutely did not. I want to be very clear. He absolutely did not.
Well, unless the shoe fits. But with that being said, if you do identify as being one of those weak agents, you don't have to be.
Correct.
Right. The fact that you're listening to this podcast is, I think, what you're getting at.
Yes.
Is you are a part of a group that is dedicated to growth and opportunity and increasing your own acumen of being able to deliver for your clients. And being a weak agent means you're just going to accept the status quo and do as you're told by your client. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're not by definition just doing what you're told by your client, because this podcast is designed around improving our skills to better serve our clients. So yeah, that just clarify, because there very well could be weak agents that are paying attention right now
that are growing out of
However,
it.
However, they don't have to stay that way.
So give a couple scenarios. You obviously are one of our top listing agents. You do a lot of listings. And I know this because I see photoshoot Mike Proctor, photoshoot Mike Proctor, photoshoot Mike Proctor, photoshoot someone else.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Mike spelled his name wrong. Mike Proctor.
Yeah.
So I see this all the time. Give me two or three scenarios that are the most common that you have to coach the buyer's side through. right? So like, is it a negotiation? And we're all talking about negotiation. Is a negotiation around price, terms? What are the most common things that off the top of your brain, I didn't give them any time to prep on this, that you see come up?
Request for repairs.
Oh,
is,
good.
Is the number one thing that comes to my mind. And that's going to encapsulate like the situation I just shared with you with Cody, where yep. it had to do with termite inspection. Mm-hmm. But it could be repairs that they want done in the house or on the house prior to close of escrow that the seller is just not on board with. And I have to try to either erase the request for repairs or diminish it to a point where the seller would then acquiesce and go with it. Right.
So for example, and I'm going to lead you to a direction because I see this is where you're going. And Matt Honeycutt, another agent on our team, phenomenal. He said something like this, but if you have a weak agent on the buy side, they get their offer accepted, they get the inspection report and they go, probably sometimes, maybe not this egregious, they'll go, all right, here's the 20-page inspection report, fix this.
Right.
Right. And I know Matt says something along the line of, if it'll hurt you, if it'll kill you, if it'll, I don't remember yeah. what it is.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So can you explain, if you get a request for repairs, that's, it's funny, this morning I was looking at my mirror and it's too low. And I was like, if I ever sell my house and they're like, raise the mirror. I'm like, kick rocks, guy. This is not a request for repair.
Totally. So here's the expectations that are set with the other side of the transaction. And one of the things that Matt does really well is he says, set goalposts, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think if you set appropriate guidelines that people will stay within, it really frames the situation for everybody involved. So on the listing side, I will inform the buyer's agent, you know, hey, I know you got the home inspection scheduled for Tuesday. I just want to give you a heads up. I have already set the expectation with the seller that if it is not a safety hazard or if it is not broken, it's not something we need to be concerned with. So if you could pass that on to the buyer, I would really appreciate it.
And you do that before the request for repairs.
Oh, yeah.
So that way they go.
That way when they get the report, they have a framework mm-hmm. to stay within. If it's not broken and it's not a safety hazard, it's a honey-do list item for after you own the property.
Yeah, the roof will be done in 5 years. Good to know.
Yeah, right? Like, so that's an expectation that's set prior to that ever becoming a hurdle.
Mm. I love that, because then when they say, when they hear you, and if they decide to ignore you because they can't figure out how to copy and paste things,
yep.
and they decide to ignore you, and they slide around the inspection report,
yeah.
and you can say, remember we talked about this, right? You would probably say it nicer than I would, because yeah. I would go, per my previous email, yeah. aka, remember this asshole.
Yes.
If it's, we're safety hazard and broken. The dishwasher, yeah, it's old. It still works.
Right.
We're not going to repair that.
Exactly. So that's the biggest thing, is I think setting those proper expectations from that initial phone call, understanding who it is that you're speaking to, and then adapting your communication style to them to really build that rapport. And then when they do get off script, when they go outside the goalposts, you can ask questions to help them pull everybody back within the goalposts. And that's going to help keep your negotiation simpler.
Now, I know you are a phenomenal listing agent. I know you do primarily listings. That being said, you have more than a handful of buyers that you have worked with and that you will work with and that you are probably currently working with. The funny thing about it is I never see when agents work with buyers because they're not doing photo shoots for the house.
Right.
So I want to kind of flip this, especially the last handful of years, at least, we've been in a strong seller's market.
Yes.
And so it's a lot easier to talk about negotiation when you have the upper hand and you say, I've got 9 other offers. If you don't want to, if you're requiring termite, I'm just going to move to the next guy, right? That comes from a lot more strength. Let's flip it from the buyer side. We're still in a seller's market. you're negotiating with the listing agent. Mm-hmm. You're in a weaker position. What are some, and I'm sure these are going to be very similar, but what are some tools or techniques or tactics that you use to not be in the weaker of the position? Does that make sense?
Right. So when I'm on the buy side, I try to deliver to the listing agent how simple of a transaction this is going to be for them. I try to ensure that they understand they're not going to have to do my job.
And how do you do that?
I will already have research to see if I know people that are on their team that I or someone else on the Whistle team have already worked with, so I can name drop when I call them.
Hopefully they like that guy. You're like, hey, I've worked with Susie. They're like, Susie's a jerk.
Right.
Yeah, I hate her too.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I'll impress upon them how we have a back office staff that handles the transaction management and coordination for us. And I will establish the relationship that I have with my buyer. I will let them know the expectations that I have set with my buyer. So that way they understand I'm not an order taker, that I am the one at the helm of my buyer side transaction, and that all these intricate pieces of the puzzle I have in place. Our lender's solid. We've done the appropriate pre-qualifications. We have all the documents in. The lender's not waiting for anything other than an address and an appraisal, and we can close. So rest assured, when you pick our offer, we're hitting the finish line.
And you communicate, this goes back to earlier, you communicate how they want to be communicated with.
Right.
So if they're a high I personality in the DISC profile and they want to talk to people, let's...
Then we're chit-chatting.
Yep.
Then we're telling mm-hmm. stories. I'm asking questions about crazy showings they've had since the property's been, mm-hmm. you know, available, right? Like, oh my gosh, has your phone been ringing off the hook? Tell me about it. I'm going to be interested mm-hmm. in them if they're a high I, because if you show you are interested, you become interesting, right? So... There's subtle nuances to that where I just want to build rapport.
Yeah.
So if I'm on the buy side, I'm going to make sure this person looks forward to speaking to me, and that I'm not just, ugh, that pain in the ass that's calling again.
And I think that's really important, because I think it could very easily, listening to this, someone go, okay, you already listed some questions that you ask the buyer side. They go, okay, well, and then on the flip side, as a buyer, those are the questions you answer, whether they ask or not.
Mm-hmm.
But very easily, I can see an agent go, hey, Mike, it's Brian. I'm submitting an offer. I'm so good. My back office is so good. My lender's so good. It's like, I don't care. That's
yeah.
And so I love that you went into, you're building rapport, you're adding value, you know, you're communicating how they want to be communicated with.
Right.
And sometimes this is a phone call, but sometimes you might not be able to get them on the phone. Sometimes it's a video, an email, a high note presentation of, here's the information of why you should... why this is going to work out well between us.
Right.
You're going to get what you want. We're going to get, my buyer's going to get the house that they want. We're working together. We're cooperating agents.
Yes.
Mike, I love this. If before we go into our widget of the week, which is something that we use in our business or our life, people are going to hear this and go, wow, that's great. I want more. And I'm going to be like, well, we'll do another podcast with Mike soon, I promise. Yeah. I'll just ask him 15 minutes ahead of time. How can someone reach out to you and like, Mike, I got to talk to you?
Instagram's probably the easiest, at the Mike Proctor.
Yeah.
So easy. Just makes it simple. Yeah.
Good. I'll just hit you up, follow you there, DM you there.
And, oh, totally. Yeah. Follow me. I'll follow you back. It'll be amazing. We can be best friends.
Very cool. So thank you for watching. Again, we're going to get into our Whistle Widget of the Week. But if you like this, if you want more of this, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast. You can go to thewhistleway.com. And that has a list of all the things we do, from our Facebook group, our YouTube channel, our podcast, our newsletter, our information about our course, where Kyle and I talk about everything we do about our business creating content and how we do that. And then also join our referral network. We have people leaving San Diego and we need to send them places. And so one of the things we do is we look at the list of agents that said, I sell in this area. These are the cities I cover. please send me referrals if things go by. And so that is, I'm not guaranteeing anything, but that's a step that we go through.
I did six of those last year.
I love that.
I sent out six referrals last year. So send me your referral information.
So thewhistleway.com. And if you like this, leave us a review. That always fills our cup. It helps us get out to other people. And it's just a good thing for us.
Oh, 100%.
And share this with someone. If you have an agent that's struggling with negotiation, maybe it's a new agent. Maybe it's a weak agent that doesn't want to be a weak agent. Yes. Maybe it's the bully agent that you worked with on the last transaction. You're like, maybe they could learn some things through here. You know, play it right. but share this from YouTube, from the podcast. However, that means a lot to us as well. Let's get into one of my favorite segments of the show. It's funny, we have two segments of the show. This is one of my favorites. It's the whistle widget of the week. This is something, like I said, we use in our daily life that saves us time, helps us have more fun, or make more money. Mike, would you like to go first?
Sure. So I said everybody could hit me up on Instagram. So pretty frequently I've seen all kinds of cool videos of people at like open houses and new listings that pop up. And I was like, ugh. Those are freaking cool. How do I do that? And I am not the tech person.
He is not. He asked me how to copy and paste into his browser.
That's a fact. Because I got a Mac computer and they're different. But I found this app called CapCut. And all I have to do is take the little videos on my phone. And then I find a template of the amount of videos I want to utilize. And I just put them in there, pick the music, and then hit done. And it's like, you have this cool video that you did, but you didn't really do it. It's rad. Highly recommend it. It's called CapCut.
And you're just using the free version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm cheap.
And I don't know how much the paid one is, but I use
probably
the free
like
one.
$5. Probably. It's probably so cheap.
$100 a year.
Oh, $100 a year.
Five. Okay. So it's $7 a month.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was thinking $5 a month. Yeah. I was so wrong. Sorry, Tom.
But yeah, so very cool. For my widget, this is something I'm a little embarrassed that I didn't know before. I reached out to we're big Ylopo fans. We love Ylopo for our front end website. They do everything from our website, our IDX search, our e-alerts to let clients know that, or let our agents know. No, let our clients know about new listings. We get alerts when they go back to the website. They do remarketing. Big, big fan of Ylopo. My widget is not Ylopo. It's the tools that they offer. So if you go to one of the tools that our agents use all the time is the open house tool. It basically builds a website for that open house. People fill in the information and then it automatically goes into that agent's follow-up boss. Phenomenal. Well, I reached out to my contact there. I'm like, hey, do you have this? We used to have this 15 years ago with another CRM. You know, that went out that long ago. 9 years ago with another CRM. Do we have it? He goes, yeah, I got that and a bunch more stuff. So if you have Ylopo and you go to your website /tools. So if your website is SanDiegoHomeSearch.com, and that's your Ylopo, SanDiegoHomeSearch.com/tools, it will give you not only the open house tool, but it'll also give you a heat map. So it'll show, it'll look through your CRM and see where buyers are searching. So this is great to use on a listing presentation. It'll give you branded market trends. So if you're doing a listing presentation in Santee or doing an open house in Santee, you can show that and it shows graphs and all sorts of stuff. Single listing flyer, listing detail. This is really cool because this is like a website where they can fill out a form at the bottom. And if they fill out that form at the bottom, it goes to your account. So I was like, oh, that's embarrassing. You have all these really cool tools that I didn't know existed.
Huh.
So go to your website.com/tools if you have Ylopo. If you don't have Ylopo,
you should get
sign
Ylopo.
Up for Ylopo and then do that. And there, that's my widget is like 10 tools all in one.
Awesome.
Yeah, check it out. It's really cool. That does it for this week's episode of Real Estate Success, the Whistle Away Podcast. I am your host, Brian Cochi, brought to you with Mike Proctor. That's a weird way to say it. We're joined by Mike Proctor. We will see you, or I will see you next week.